Blog Talk Radio.
On a man-made lake, there's a sheet up in ice. We're unskilled skaters, cut figure eight twice. At 16, uncut, direct from the cult. Head on assault, the result, death by the bolt. In the vault, it spoke about the average lost permission that was seen by a king in a prophetic vision. Like a plane crash from a bomb blast. Special broadcast, block time with Comcast. They kept the jury quiet, and now the riot performed. While satanic man, now hanging his dorm. I swing on you fake radio personalities with Wuxia ratings. With hikes behind casualties of fire shots. With low pressure water gunplay. Instantly slap your five like it's Palm Sunday. I fashioned the first tool from the elements the earth used. And built it to a complex network of communication. You're up against a hopeless situation. I screen every vehicle through enemy observation. Swarming unpredictably. We spread terror. Increase the fog significantly. Change the era. Check my wind pattern. It's heading west. Success is freedom, but failure can mean death. Human sweat and aim shovels. Dig up debris and rubble. Permanent damage caused by the double. You, now who, cowardly urge you to merge through and think the workers that serve you, the Sonic Marvel, who just dropped the next novel. Worldwide, rap elite, more than Marvel. It's a countless amount of MCs I saved, and them same niggas wanna swindle those gifts I gave.
Moments most sacred. Both species, they lay naked in the tombs of the oasis. Think back on niggas I ate with, spend the day with, guns we play with, niggas I relate with, we broke bread. I heard through a vine, niggas work for the feds, sent out secretly to take my head. I laid back and meditate to the words they said. Skipped town 4 months in groups of dread. Had a friend tell my family I was dead. Returned at the last fall of the autumn leaves. Operate the plan accordingly, in case the feds are recording me. Sign all documents, using forgery, cause just a mere thought of me. I'm like Solomon, spoke bluntly, told the world I'm black and comely. Howled from the grave, hunt me, the smell of death upon me. I dwell in the hills like Gandhi, been in the presence of mad peasants and old kings who sold everything on the quest for God divine. Slept in caves to get a clear mind, who prayed 3 times when the moon lit and when the sun rise. I met dwellers in the desert, talked to shepherds, been in the mouth of many leopards, felt the death kiss of Satan's mistress, walked through vacant districts, performed religious, studied pagan scriptures, to philosophers and physicians, on a cure mission, who hardened their hearts toward the weak, sick, and afflicted, candles lit, gambled with a bitch, who made me love her, when I touch her, saw paws, high claws, bees with sweet honey in their mouth, have bitter stingers at their tail, walked through the chambers of death, take a hold on to hell, embracing her was like embracing the third well.
Well, how are you, Mr. Bat?
I'm doing okay.
I love it when people call me Mr. Bats. I just get a kick out of that sometimes.
I'm glad.
Oh, good, good, good. You know, tonight we have a special guest tonight, a female artist by the name of Kimberly Mosberry, a very talented artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's out of Chicago, and she's been doing... I'll repeat that again, Cynthia. You're going in and out.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you just like a Verizon commercial.
Good. I was saying Chi-Town represents.
Oh, yeah, Chi-Town is representing pretty strong on the Motor City Black Age of Comics. If you notice, there's been several people on here from Chicago, you know, which obviously, you know, Chicago is like a mecca of black comic book artists in this area, I should say, as far as the Midwest is concerned. You know, that's a good thing, and I'm glad to be, you know, so close to Chicago in the sense of, you know, a four-hour drive.
Yeah, three if you push it.
Yeah, with the state troopers right behind you. Right. Yeah, I can see that right there. You wouldn't even make it to where you're going with that being the case.
That's very true. I don't.
Got a lot going on. We have, I guess, like I was saying, with Kim coming on board tonight. You know, I guess we could talk about her and the different things that she had to go through as far as getting her comics out there and the different projects that she's worked on. And, you know, what's the struggle she's been through for the most part. I think she'll have a lot to tell us. You know, what do you think about the comic book owner, comic book store owner over in Philadelphia?
Ariel
Johnson. You know, it's the black, yeah, she's the first black female comic book store owner.
Yes. She actually had a piece done by her, like a small bijou piece, on CNN Money,
okay.
I believe. You know, and basically she talked about her premise on how she was able to combine not only like a comic book store, but like, you know, a place where you can get like your coffee as well, like a little coffee shop with a comic book store. But it was really interesting to hear, like, some of her influences that really got her into comics in the first place. And it was actually seeing a black female character, Storm, said that was, like, the first black female character that she saw, like, mainstream that, you know, that was introduced to her that really, like, you know, flared her imagination and kind of, like, brought her into this realm where she is today. So it's, like, really exciting to see, you know, how... you know, black influence or like a black empowered female influence was able to kind of inspire her to be able to go after her dreams and make it a reality. So that was really cool to actually see.
Yeah, that's pretty deep, you know, and it's good to know, you know, that there is a black female or black females that are really into comics and sci-fi. You know, that's a beautiful thing because, you know, back when we were growing up, you know, you didn't find too many girls into comics or into the different cartoons that were on television and things of that nature. So obviously she's been influenced by that as well. You
Most
know, growing
definitely.
Up, you know, you figure she's seeing a lot of these different images that's not reflective of her. And, you know, she's like, man, I got to get out here. You know, Storm is a powerful character in the Marvel Universe. You know, I have to get my own story or try to get it, and the next thing you know, bam, it comes into fruition. And I can't say she's the only, the first black female with the comic book store. I'm going to just say she's probably one of the only black people person, rather, with the comic book store.
Right.
You know,
well, she mentioned that she was the first one that was on the East Coast. So,
okay.
You know,
Wow, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. And it was even cool to actually find out that, or, you know, she mentioned that oftentimes, like in mainstream comics, it's very white, male, straight, dominant, you know?
It is.
And, yeah, but she wanted to carry more books that were more diverse. So they have, you know, more characters, lead characters of color, of different sexual orientation, you know, and some and different genders as well. So, you know, that was, it was really cool to see this, because there's so much art and literature that's out there that, you know, that is so diverse. It's multifaceted. But, you know, oftentimes if you're not really into that, you don't know about it. So it takes people like her, you know, to have a platform to actually bring it out to life so people are more exposed to some of this great art that's out there. So that's really exciting to actually read about as well.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, you know, we're going to bring Kim on and get her take on that as well. Hold on. Hello, Kim. Are you there? Kim?
Hello.
Hey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing good. I have to make this quick because I have a little one to tend to.
Right, right. Yeah, that's right, right. Yeah, she 4 months old now?
Yeah, she's 4 months old. I see you've been following me.
Of course. You know, you're one of the best artists out there. I got to follow people like you to see what's going on. You've done several Queen Nubia pieces, so with that being said, you know, I have to follow what else you're doing as well. What do you think about the... Go ahead, Kim.
I have a few projects in the works, but let's get with this interview, because I see you guys are already talking it up.
Well, of course. You know, we got to do that. You know, we got to get you on board and, you know, see what you got to tell us, you know, about Kim Mosberry. What have you been doing?
I've been doing okay. No. I've got AWFR issue number 5 going, and then I got issue of Enigma 2 going, so that'll be out later this year.
Later this year? So AWF, that's by Joe D. McPhee, right?
Yeah, that's done by Exigency Studios. The writer and creator is Joe McPhee.
Okay. And you say you got Enigma number 2. Are you doing it in more pages, or are you doing it in just like a Ashcan type book?
No, I'm doing a comic book. I'm just making sure the artwork for this issue is a lot better.
So you're doing a full book?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's great to hear. You know, what? Well, you got any shows planned on? Are you planning on hitting any shows?
No, not really this year. Probably the only show I probably do is the Motor City Black Age in November.
Nice. Okay, we'll be more than glad to have you here. That's for sure. I'm looking forward to seeing you when you come out.
Thank you, but just so you guys, because I have my little girl, she's the first priority. First and foremost.
Oh, yeah, that goes without saying. We got people listening to you tell everybody that, you know, your baby girl is your priority, and that's a good thing. I'm sure we all would think or know that that would be your priority. You know, we wouldn't expect anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool.
Can you tell us any of your influences when you first started us? Your artwork, who influenced you, or who did you follow coming up?
When I was growing up, I used to watch a lot of Dwayne McDuffie stuff, the Justice League and his comic books.
Mm. Or like the Milestone books, like you're talking about Icon, Hardware, Holocaust.
Yeah, I have Icon and Hardware, and I collect a lot of the Static Shock, you know.
Mm.
And then I used to watch a lot of the episodes for Justice League. the cartoons.
Okay. The ones that were written by Dwayne McDuffie?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
So how did you use that transition into doing your own artwork?
Well, I wanted to see positive images of African Americans in that wasn't stereotypes, you know? Whether it's being like the magical Negro or, you know, the sidekick fumbling all over himself.
I think that's one of the classic answers right there. You know, a lot of us that are doing black comics, I think we're basically tired of seeing the typical characters of color basically looking the same or acting the same. I guess the bumbling over themselves, you would find a lot of that in the Archie type magazine, but a lot of sidekick type stuff you got in the Marvel and the DC universe. And even if they were supposedly powerful characters, they really didn't display a lot of power in a lot of the books. You know, Black Panther was pretty cool, but, you know, for the most part, a lot of it was really weak, you know, as far as I'm concerned. What was your favorite coming up, Kim, Milestone Comics?
Well, I've got a lot of favorites coming up. You know, I would like to say that black characters do exist, but they don't get a lot of marketing in the mainstream like any other characters do. But my favorite characters are done by mostly independent, like Strictly Underground and their Urban Style Studios, which is yours, and then along with the Joe Curry stuff.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then there's so many, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of us out here doing the independent thing. That's a good thing there, you know, because, you know, with the media, with the internet being the way that it is, it allowed us to have a voice. It hasn't necessarily leveled the playing field, but it has allowed us to have a voice now.
Yeah, I mean, the networks are out here, but they're just not being tapped into, you know. They exist, but they're just not being tapped into the full potential.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. If you could change any Marvel characters or whatever and add your spin to it, which character would you change up?
Probably none of the characters, because Marvel hasn't spoken to me in years, you know, ever since they did the Black Panther. Reduced his country to a rape factory, third world country.
So if it just fell in your lap, you would just throw it away?
Yeah, I'd probably just throw it away and just strictly do independent, because that's what's really coming up right now. Because without the movies and the cartoons, Marvel and DC would pretty much be out of luck.
See, that's why I like talking to you, Kim. You just tell it like it is. I know if it fell into my lap, I would probably do away with certain characters and add a lot of characters into the universe myself and just change the whole universe, you know, with dreadlocks being on the forefront. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. So you're saying later this year you'll be done with the Enigma?
Yeah, Enigma issue 2, so that's pretty cool. And along with my other project that I want to finish, because I do want to show more positive images of black female characters, because I do have a daughter, and I want to give her images to look up to, because that's very important.
Okay, can you share with us
about it? Excuse me?
I'm fine. No, I was saying, can you tell us more about Enigma? Like, you know, can you tell us a little bit more about the story and how you came up with it and, you know, things of that nature?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I pretty much came up with Enigma because I've always been into sci-fi, fantasy, and a bit of noir. So I made Enigma based off the stuff that I was in, Running Man, Book of Eli, and then a lot of, like, old cop noir movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what influenced me, and I've always liked the sci-fi tips, but, you know, I've always liked to touch on human nature, too.
Can you tell us about the main character?
Well, the story is kind of hard to speak of because it has several different storylines that are basically tied into each other, because you do mm-hmm. you do have same male black characters in the higher seasons, and then when you get to the wasteland, you have a male female black character too as well. So it's multicultural, but it still speaks to us.
Cool. So it's kind of like a story with many layers.
Hello?
Yeah, basically,
so it's a story with many, with different layers to it.
And plus, I wanted to do something that shows main black male characters and female characters doing something outside of, you know, whenever you have detectives and stuff, we're always stuck in New York in the back alley somewhere. This story takes place in the future among the wealthy and powerful, so I wanted to touch on showing us in the forefront. Forefront of being intelligent characters as well.
Now, do you use Chicago as your the city of choice when you create the city for your characters?
Well,
seeing as though you're from Chicago.
My city is one of the inspirations because I did grow up here, but New York and then other places I've been to. Because, you know, when we're in fantasy and sci-fi, they only show a handful of us, and we're lucky to be seen at all. Unless it's a hood TV show, then we're all over the place.
Mm. Well, I guess I asked that question due to the fact that, you know, when you look at most comic book characters that are out there, in the sense of we're going to go with the mainstream of Marvel, DC.
It's not like a city. It's more like a scene. It's like a scenery because I tie all cultures into the future. Because, you know, a lot of people don't see us in the future unless we're, like, in the slums or something, or, you know, unintelligent, or just somebody, you know, to show that the bad guy is dead when we die.
Oh, okay. So basically you're building us a future that we right now see. It doesn't even exist right now because we don't even see ourselves in the future. So you're building a future for us.
Yes.
In the sci-fi world.
It's pretty much a world that, you know, when people portray black characters, we're stereotypes, but they forget that, you know, we're still a human like everybody else. So I have to train my characters as human beings first. Because when they portray us in the mainstream, they forget that we have humanity, and that's what I'm going back to.
Okay. Well, that's a good concept. You know, I'm looking forward to getting the second Enigma. I have the first one. I bought it at PocketCon, as a matter of fact, a few years back.
Like,
matter of fact, repeat that, Kev.
How did you like the first issue of Enigma?
Well, I liked the first issue. You know, the only thing that, you know, I felt was missing, I just felt that it needed, you know, more background and story to it. That's about it. But
you're
doing the numbers.
Viewer and the audience to be drawn in and grow with the characters and be a part of the story. Kind of like going on a journey with the characters, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's why I asked you earlier with the Enigma number 2. Were you doing a full book this time around? Because obviously you would draw people in, you drew people into the first book, and the first book I think was about 8 pages or something. You know, it did
actually
draw the people in.
I think you got the demo, but the first issue is actually 23 pages.
I don't have
you
that one then. That's why I was asking you earlier, because I was like, man, I got the ash can or something. So I got the wrong version.
And you have the shorter version, but I'll send you the longer version. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I need the longer version. Then I could really answer that question for you. Here I'm getting ready to tell you about, you know, the depth of the characters, and I don't even have the whole book. But listen, I will be out in Chicago for a Pocket Con.
That's very cool.
Yeah, in 3 weeks. So hopefully, you know, I get to see you out there when I come, and you can bring Enigma with you, okay?
Yeah, when you come out to Pocket Con or in Chicago, just let me know, and I can slide you an issue of Enigma, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Considering though, I just got the short version of it. Mm-hmm. So Kim, this is what I want you to do, because I know you have to tend to your baby. Tell everyone how to contact you and get access to any of your artwork and the different pages that you belong to, you know,
yeah,
make
I can
it
tell
easy
you
on
right
the
now.
People.
On Facebook under Kimberly Mosberry, and then I'm on DeviantArt under Ebony Chan, Ebony-Chan, DeviantArt. Basically, that's the only few places I'm at right now. I'm working on my website to get that back up and going, you know, because I've been clearing out a lot of stuff and showing, trying to improve my artwork so they can actually have something nice to see when they go onto my main website.
You're trying to make it so you're trying to make it like an interactive website, or is it going to be like just a page for people just to view or buy your stuff, or what are you going to be doing on your website?
Yeah, you can on Facebook, so you can mostly hit me up there. And then, like, they can call me within work hours, probably like 9 to 5 or something. And then we can work out something there. But I'm on instant messaging now. I fought it for a long time, but I guess I gave in.
You gave in to instant messages?
Yeah, I do answer my instant messages.
No,
what did she say? You're on Indiegogo too, correct? DeviantArt.
This is asking, do you have a project on Indiegogo?
Yeah, that was the first issue of Enigma. And then I don't know if I do another campaign for issue two, because I've been doing most of that myself.
So you write and also do the art for your comics?
What did you say?
Are you the writer and also the artist on your comic on Enigma and in issue two? Wow.
Yeah, that,
so you are the woman with many hats.
Yeah, everything that has to do with Enigma is all me. Artist, writer, colorer, inker, penciler, all me.
Nice.
And colors. Okay. Let's not forget that.
And yeah, colors.
So that's one book you can say that's all yours.
I would like to collaborate with other black people, too, because I do like to see images of us, too, out there.
Well, you know, in order for people to collaborate with you, they can contact you on Facebook, right?
They sure can.
Okay, now you still do commission work as well, right? Like pinups and things of that nature, right?
Yep, and right now I'm working on AWF, Bill McPhee AWF. But I do try to focus more on portraits, like superhero portraits, because it's kind of a test to get people to see themselves as positive leading characters. So I try to, you know, get people to think outside the box and have a little bit of fun with themselves, you know?
Right.
Now, kind of like move on from like the stereotypical images. I get people like, I draw people as kings and queens and like explorers and adventurers.
I've
do like comic pages and graphics.
Wow. Well, that's a good thing, you know, because a lot of people need to see themselves as, you know, kings, queens, knights, things of that nature.
that's why I like the dreadlocks comics a lot, you know?
Oh, okay. Oh, that's why you like dreadlocks.
Yeah, because, you know, he doesn't fit in the box. He doesn't say, okay, you have to be this image. Like, he's kind of universal in his comics.
Well, thank you for that, Kim. You know, when I created dreadlocks, you know, I kind of had that in mind to try to get it where, you know, he would have a universal look at the same time, have an intimidating look too.
Yeah, I think he did a good job.
Thank you, because I don't think everyone was really ready for a character with locks when I first created dreadlocks.
Cool.
I don't think no one was ready for that.
The little one is calling me because now I have to go. But thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been a real treat. You guys are awesome.
We're going to catch you one day when you have actual time. We'll have to wait till the baby get about 8 years old.
That's okay. I'll still be trying.
So we'll do that. So in the meantime.
Well, let me know if you guys actually have any earlier shows too, okay?
Say it again, Kim.
Let me know if you guys actually have any earlier shows too during the daytime. She gets busted on this
one. We could work on an earlier show for you. We do that, and that way, you know, we can get you on there for a good hour, and we can
go through,
you know, your whole, you know, story and everything. And we appreciate
you
having you on once again. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys. Peace.
All right, peace.
Thanks, Kim.
Now, Cynthia.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Now, Kim is...
Goodbye, you guys. Goodbye, Andre.
Hello.
And who's this lovely lady I'm talking to?
It's Cynthia. I'm in Chicago, too.
All right, thank you guys, and have a peaceful evening.
All right,
you
too.
Well.
Now, Cynthia, Kim is a very established artist. I don't know if you've seen any of her work, but it's pretty good.
I have.
I understand. Okay. She has a little one. I wasn't expecting tonight to be as short as it was, but it's all good.
Yeah, well, you know, when the children call, what can you do?
Right. Let me ask you, have you seen Suicide Squad? We can get into that.
Man, no. No, I have not. I haven't got a chance to see any of, like some of, like, the big movies that have come out later this summer. I still need to see Star Trek. I still need to see Suicide Squad. What's some of the other ones that came out this year too?
I think the one before that was Apocalypse. You know, X-Men.
Yes, and I heard that was actually better than what a lot of the critics were giving them, you know, ruckus over. So that's I have like a whole list of things that I need to go to my what do I call it? Me supporting my black business, you know, black business owners, bootleg man that's like around the corner at the Dollar General. Yeah, so.
And by now, I'm sure you got all of them at this point.
I
didn't see Star Trek, you know, when I was going to go see Star Trek. I ended up going to see Suicide Squad instead.
So
I kind of went out of order. I thought it was pretty good. They created Suicide Squad to battle these different entities that Superman had caused to come into existence, or whatever, due to, you know, with his battle against Zod, you know, in the first Superman movie. But one of the characters that they had got on board to be on the be part of the Suicide Squad ended up being the villain that Suicide Squad was fighting against.
Okay.
But what I didn't get was, why did they form the group to fight an outside entity and the entity was actually within. And, it, you know, it's like, why even form the group and there's no one to fight? Then you end up fighting somebody that was part of your group.
So, that, so this is my question.
It didn't match up to me as far as the story is concerned.
To that DC has been having. The, well, and here's the thing, and I can't speak too much to it because I'm not too familiar with a lot of the Suicide Squad books. I remember watching, because, like, one of the things that I feel that DC does very well is the actual, like, you know, cartoon movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like the animated things that they do. I think that they do those extremely well. And I feel that, and I almost feel like if they can take, like, the same type of lines that they use for their animated movies and actually be able to translate them into live action, I think that they'll be really winning. But, you know, oh, well. I understand
that every
director has his take on the story, which I understand that, you know, you have some give and take when you're actually putting it in from comic to live action. But sometimes I really feel that they just go a little bit too far away from the storyline that people kind of look at and go, huh? Because that's how I felt with Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, and you'll kind of get that in Suicide Squad as well. Some aspects of it was really, really good. And then, like I said, you know, the storyline, it wasn't connecting enough for me. So, but I enjoyed it, you know, in the sense of the action. I liked the actors that were part of it, you know, all of those, you know, Will Smith, the young lady who played Harlequin, she was real good. A lot of people were expecting to see a lot of the Joker, but you really didn't need to see the Joker in this movie because he plays a big part in Batman, you know, so we didn't really need to see a lot of him in the movie, but needless to say, I think that they could have connected the story a little bit better. And it takes me into this right here. This is one of the reasons why we as black people or people of color need to come together and start creating our own form of Hollywood so we can, you know, we can critique these superhero movies that come out by Marvel and DC, and we can love them all day and be happy about them every time we see them, because those were, you know, comic books that we read as children. But now that we're all able to create, it is something that we all need to come together and try to create our own superhero movies. We got enough characters out here to create a whole universe.
That's true. That's very true. That's why I'm super excited, you know, to be able to come on board with Urban Style and work with you guys, you know, on characters and whatnot, and really seeing where we can take everybody.
Right. Oh, you know, I'm really happy to have you on board.
Yay!
Hey, everybody. Cynthia McDonald, the first female that's part of Urban Style Comics.
Watch out there now.
But yeah, we need a lot of that out there, you know, because you look at brothers like myself, you know, Vince White. We had Roosevelt Pitt on here a couple of weeks ago. And you know, Baba Dawu. You know, imagine a universe with all the characters that we've created in one movie.
And also, Nasir, correct?
Your brother Nasir, PB Soldier.
Yes.
We're all dealing with the same issue, but at the same time, they're affecting each province or each area a little differently. You know what I mean? Like, you had dreadlocks, you're dealing with something out in the universe, the next thing you know, it comes into our atmosphere or whatever, then we need, you know, the PB Soldier to get the hack in and using his scientific mind to destroy this electronic threat to the people of color, you know what I mean? It's a lot we can do with that.
Right.
And I think right now, you know, we really have the power to do that, especially with GoFundMe and Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brother out there.
Oh, go ahead.
It's a brother named Everice. He writes the bomb stories or whatever. He can write a story for all of us to be a part of this.
Nice.
And we could solicit it. Next thing you know, we got our own movie. Repeat that sentence.
Nice. No, I was about to say, brother, if you're listening, call in.
Yeah, right. He probably listening. There's no telling. But, you know, he can write the bomb stories. He gave me a storyline the other day. Just when him and I was talking, and just he just grabbed it right out of the air and had it from the beginning to end. I'm like, how do you do this? You know what I mean? How do you do this? You know, a lot of people I know have a hard time with, you know, developing concepts like that. But it's like you have a story in each part of his brain, and he just reach in and, oh, here you go. This is perfect for that character.
Nice. We need more of that.
Yeah, we need a whole lot more of that. We need, you know, brothers and sisters in the technical department. We have the sister out here in Philly with the comic book store. We can get our movie, you know, shown in her store, you know, as far as like a screening. You know, just invite everybody right there to Philadelphia for the screening when universes collide. That's what we'll call it. And next thing you know, she can show it up in there. And it's all, you know,
but remember, he came on here first, guys, so don't take his concept now.
Yeah, we're recording it all right now, so if somebody does, you know, we say, hey, we talked about it already.
Exactly.
And this is something that needs to be done, you know, the comic books, you know, we can continue doing the comic books, but it's got to be a way we can, you know, get all of them on board with one, like with Vince, what he's doing right now, Vince White, with Powerverse. You know, it's something separate from his actual universe, but it's still part of his universe, whereas, you know, like he was saying a couple of weeks ago, add all these characters into the Powerverse.
Right.
And that could be like a catalyst to getting a live-action movie or a nice animated movie done with someone that's professional in the way that they do it and a person that's skilled as far as bringing us this high-quality work as far as animation is concerned. In live-action, you know, we don't want anything cheesy, obviously.
Of course.
You know, because for some reason, you know, people outside of us, they seem to think that a lot of our stuff is cheesy. They'll say they like it, but they won't do anything as far as putting money to back it.
Yeah, and instead, like, you know, oftentimes, like, when, you know, people of color would be complaining that we're underrepresented in Hollywood, instead, what we would see, because it happened in the Fantastic Four, it happened in Suicide Squad, in Fantastic Four, okay, well, we're just going to turn, you know, Johnny Storm black. Okay, well, he wasn't. or Deadshot in Suicide Squad, now he's Will Smith, now that's a black man. I don't know if you heard Zendaya, the Disney star. She's going to be playing Mary Jane in the new Spider-Man movie. And, you know, and even though I feel that, you know, she will do just fine as far as, like, being able to play that character properly, you know, it would be even better to see characters, you know, that originated in black and portrayed black on the screen, or originated Latino and portray Latino on screen. So we don't necessarily have to like, okay, well, we're going to take this character, we're going to make them from white to black, and, you know, maybe they'll shut the African-Americans up. You're like, no, it's not necessarily that. It's just that we just want to make sure that our stories, our characters, our people are being portrayed in the best light possible because, you know, let's face it, you know, black people are savvy, they're educated, they're clever, they're creative, they're all this. They have families, they have 9-to-5s, they have hopes, they have dreams. And all aspects of our lives should be portrayed in that light instead of just, you know, the person that got shot on the 6 o'clock news. Because we're more than that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good thought. It's a good train of thought. Because, you know, me myself, I'm, you know, I don't really mind them changing the colors of the characters, but at the same time, I would hope they're not doing that to appease us. You know what I mean? Because I'm still a firm believer that, you know, if they're truly sincere, you know, bringing characters of color into existence or whatever, I think they need to build them from scratch and make them just as powerful as the other characters in their universe. And I think that we need to have a bigger part in that as far as that development stage and creation stage. And, you know, then I would say, okay, they're really, you know, out there trying to do us people of color justice. You know, they're really allowing us to be seen on the screen now. You know, Mary Jane, that's cool, whatever. But you know, Nick Fury, that's cool, whatever. You know, Johnny Storm, that's cool. But I'm like, come on, now. When we really look at these characters that they're changing and making them, you know, black. What significance do they actually hold as far as power is concerned? Versus the other characters within the Marvel Universe. It's not much. Still, you know, I would like to see them change Thor black. Make him black.
That would really shake up the world right there. Right. That would be very interesting to see Thor black. You know. Or even take, like, the concept of Thor and maybe, like, you know, marry him with, you know, maybe a concept that African Americans are familiar with and then see where it takes you. So that would be interesting as well.
You know, Africans, they have their own thunder gods as well. You know, we could actually create that and put it out there in the universe or whatever, you know, that. The concept of the Asgard Thunder God, it's really, we're familiar with that because, you know, we've been, that's been put in our head on a consistent basis growing up and as adults. You know, we know Asgard, the god, the Germania tribes and the gods that they worship and things of that nature.
A lot of us are familiar with that.
But when it comes to our own, you know, like when you get into, I think it's Ogun, which is from the Yoruba tradition, you know, this is, you know, a god of thunder here. You know, we get out there and we get to speaking on that. I think they'll have a bigger problem with that. But this, it takes me back to if we were able to create a whole big universe with all these different individuals that have their own companies and we all came together, we could actually put this out there in live action form. There's so much money that the black community is spending just going to a Marvel movie that they could actually take a dollar of that and invest it into an actual live action movie that's related to what we're doing.
Tell me about it. Because I want to bring this up, and I know this may sound like a little political, but, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was listening to NPR, because I love NPR. And I was listening to this show, I believe it is produced in Chicago, called The Barbershop Show. And they had a brother on there who was speaking that he was actually putting out. I need to, you know, find out exactly what the book is called, so I might have to go back into NPR archives to find it. But one of the things that he mentioned was he talked about how in the Black community, especially like in African-American typical Black community, you know, we don't have like a lot of businesses that, you know, owned by us, you know what I'm saying, that we can actually see on a day-to-day basis. And he also mentioned, but like the main like icon that we have, you know, as far as like our culture is concerned as African-Americans was church. Now, and he also mentioned a certain church in College Park, Georgia, where the pastor put out to raise money for a private debt that cost over $65 million. I'm not gonna say the names because that's not my point. But you know, but what found out that, you know, this pastor was able to actually raise the money within his church by convincing 200,000 people to give between $300 to $350 in order for them to raise $67 million for him to have a private debt. Now, that blew my mind. That blew my mind. And it wasn't just because he was able to raise his money to buy a private jet. Because, like, some people are like, oh, that's a waste. You can think about, oh, this could build a homeless shelter, this could build a school. Yeah. That's they can do all that. But that, to me, shows the power of the Black dollar. That means that if you have proper rallying for somebody to give focus, imagine what they can do. I mean, regardless of what he did it for, a Black man was able to, within his own constituency, raise $67 million. That is phenomenal to me.
It is phenomenal. You know, even though I don't agree with it, you know.
Oh, I don't either. But
it is phenomenal because, you know, I look at like the different was these Kickstarters or whatever, prime example, it ties into this. And you look at the brothers, you know, they're trying to raise money. You know, I'm donating to all the ones that I can or whatever, because I'm giving Nasi's, I'm giving to his this weekend, Friday, so, you know, so I'm going to help them get close to their goal. But most of their goals are like $3,000. And I say that is because $3,000 is not much, but we're having a hard time getting to, you know, $2,000 or $500.
Right.
You know, and that's what I'm finding it hard to believe that, like you say, this guy, he can do this and he can get a jet.
And here we're
trying to do something with obviously way, you know, much less money.
Right.
And we're not able to do it.
And, you know, and this is the thing, Andre, we need to see the value. See, the thing about it is that, and, you know, we learned this in marketing, and we can even see it in the things that we purchase on a day-to-day basis. If I go to the grocery store and I'm purchasing food, and I'm purchasing certain types of food, like I know that I'm cooking a meal this evening, so I need to buy certain ingredients. So my value is that I need to purchase this particular ingredient because I have a need for it in order for me to get my final outcome, which is a meal so that, you know, family won't starve, right? So I have found a value in what I'm purchasing. And the same thing has to happen with other people out there. We have to, as a community, see the value in actually investing in these creators that bring this type of art to us. You know, it's kind of like how and help me with the brother's name that was on the show. I want to say a few months ago, the one who started the Black Age of Comics in Chicago.
Turtle Only.
Yeah.
You're talking about Turtle, right?
Yeah, Professor Churchill. And he mentioned about, and, you know, this is something that really stuck with me, when he talked about how there are multiple facets of your brain that are engaged when you are reading a comic book. Because not only you're, it's like, if you're just reading a book, like I like to read novels, and I read a novel, all I'm reading is his words. And then I have to rely on my own imagination to create pictures in my head. When you're reading a comic book, not only are you reading the words so that you have your own, that's going off, but you're also processing the images that are on the page at the same time. So that's creating, that's making you even smarter, because your brain is actually doing a multiple work at one time, reading one comic book. And we have to see that value into, okay, we need to support mediums like this, is because in actuality, when they're bringing stuff like this to the table to us, it's lifting our consciousness as a people, as a person, when we're reading this book, because we're actually getting the artwork, which is firing one portion of our brain. We're getting the storyline, which is firing another portion of our brain, and we're getting the literature as well, so actually making us learn even more. So, you know, and that's the thing. Like, we have to communicate the value, even though like $3,000 ain't a lot of money. I mean, you know, I'm not even gonna talk about how much I gotta pay for my car. You're not gonna talk about that. You know, but again, like, I gotta go out there and get a car, because I saw the value. I gotta get around. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
That's, you know, we need to see the value in, you know, bringing these mediums to light so that we can lift our consciousness, and also let's support one another as well.
Exactly. On that note, we're gonna bring the Motor City Black Age Chronicles of the Revolutionary Nerd to an end, and I think our next guest will be Jerry Kraft. In a few weeks, I got to look it up, obviously, because I don't even remember right offhand. I got to create his show, and then he should be on board. I think he's coming on the 21st of this month, and Jerry Kraft is real talented as well. He writes the story. He writes a book called Mama's Boys, and I bought it for my nephews, you know, and they still remember it. And they're, one of them is grown now. The other ones are getting ready to be grown. Good book. Good writer, too. He's a good writer.
Is he going to be in Detroit?
Actually, Jerry Kraft is out of New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's out of New York. He's ready to come on board. He puts on a show in New York, as a matter of fact, called the Black Comics Art Festival, him and John Jennings. And I'm looking forward to being a part of that this year as well. Actually, 2017, in January, during the Martin Luther King holiday weekend. It's going to be fun.
Nice.
All right. Until next time, Cynthia. Peace.
Till next time. Peace, people.
Good night.
Get our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight. We got to fight the powers that be. As the rhythm's designed to bounce with counts, that the rhyme designed to fill your mind. Now that you realize the prize arrives, we got to pump the stuff to make it tough. From the heart, it's the start of work of art to revolutionize, make a change, something strange.
People,
we are the same, no, we're not the same, because we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't get careless. You say, what is this?
Yeah.
I love it. Let's get down to business, mental stuff.